Good.
Is it just you coming on?
It's actually just me.
Okay.
You're stuck with just the bass player. we had two in a row that we were both supposed to do, and the other one got postponed until now, so we split up.
Ah, the life of busy musicians.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So, tell me about, like, first of all, the name of the band, Officer X. How did that come about?
We were Rod and I had about 6 or 7 songs, and we were about to go in the studio, we were doing demos, you know, we start to, you know, trying to look for band members and whatnot, and we didn't have a name, and we couldn't really think of anything cool. And then we had a song called Officer, and Rod kind of was just like, actually, my real pitch is better than that. I'm sorry. Rod suggested that, and I was like, whatever. You know, it's like, it's kind of things like, band names are stupid. You know, like, eventually, even if you don't like it, it just starts to be part of the brand of the music and all that, and you just kind of go with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so, but when we came down to releasing the record, it kind of became apparent that, like, you know, if you Google Officer, a million other things are going to come up in this day and age, you know?
Right.
So we kind of, Rod actually said the X, you know, and obviously, the first thing that goes through your mind is what, like, King's X, Static X, Madam X. I don't know. I'm sure we could go on for days, right?
Right.
Yeah, we were kind of just like, screw it, let's just call it that, because that's a little bit of a differentiator, and, you know, it is what it is, and we've gotten kind of used to it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it does catch your attention, because when I first got the promo information from Ben, I'm like, Officer X, that sounds pretty cool, let me check this out. So you guys, the music is really, really good, obviously. I think you guys are onto something. How do you guys get together? Who does the majority of the writing? Is it a collective group, or is it one or two people?
It's Rod and I will come up with the ideas. Rod writes most of the melodies, being the singer and words and stuff too. You know, he definitely, I think at the first we started writing together, I was kind of swaying towards, maybe we should write some lyrics that are more good time-ish, you know, not cheesy, but just more like kind of, you know, topically vague, you know what I mean? But he's a really well-read person. He knows a lot about history and stuff like that, and he just reads a lot. And I've definitely grown to appreciate like some of his lyrics and stuff too. So it was like, you know, I think at first I was a little bit like, I was trying to sway him in a different direction. But no, I dig it. We got some new stuff too that we're working on that I love is. Lyrical concepts,
nice.
Yeah, that's how, and then, you know, we kind of come up with we definitely try to, like, keep the whole band involved as well, you know, so we'll have, you know, pretty much the raw form of the song, and, or maybe even just a verse and a chorus, and then we just work it out with the guys in the band, because we want them to have some sort of ownership in the tunes as well.
Right.
Kind of helps for like team morale as well, instead of just being, you know, color by numbers.
Yeah.
If you're dumb, I'll learn it.
Yeah. I mean, some bands do it that way, but you can always find someone that can add a different sound or a different note or a different feel to what you might have started out with, and then it kind of shifts the direction. So it's always a cool thing. Do you guys get together collectively, or is this like through email, through the internet? Is everyone in the same area?
We all live in the same. We all live in the Boston area.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, for to be be granular about how we do it. We meet roughly about twice a week, and I think one night will be Rodrigo and I, or Rodrigo and Rob and I, and then the drummer will come in on the next night, so we have stuff prepared for the drummer to come in when we're writing, you know. And then if we have shows lined up, then obviously we'll double up and make sure we're super tight for our performances.
Right. Do you guys do a lot of shows in the Boston area?
Funny thing is that we've been a band for a fairly long time, but we have not played as many shows as you would think because of the whole COVID situation. So
right.
So we had played a handful of shows prior to COVID, and then we went in the studio and started recording the Hell Is Coming album. And as soon as it was done, that's when everything kind of shut down. We just started, I've totally lost track of time since the whole COVID scenario, shut down and everything. So I want to say that we might have done a couple shows last year, oh my God, it's 2023. We did a handful of shows last year, but we're gearing up to do a lot more this year.
Yeah. And
we have one coming up in Lowell, Massachusetts, in March.
Okay. Nice.
And we're kind of branching out. We got it in the spring. We're playing Connecticut and we had a couple other locations in other parts of Massachusetts that we're playing. And we're starting to branch out.
Okay.
Now that we have an actual album.
Right. Yeah. I mean, do you find that since COVID is basically wrapped up a little bit, that people are hungry for live music again, or is it still kind of wait and see?
Yeah, no, it's definitely, the shows we've played have been really, really good. Like, so we played down in Connecticut. We're returning to this club down there, and it was great. You know, it was crazy as that. Randy Rhoads' brother was at our show. We didn't get to meet him, but people were telling us he was there.
Really?
Not to see us. I mean, he was there to see one of the other bands.
Well, but, yeah, you never know.
But we got to take in the same air as
Randy's brother. Nice. Yeah, I think the vacuum that exists now between bands has just kind of faded away, and I think the opportunity for new bands like yours is really, it's a great time to be a musician. Hopefully it continues, and hopefully the economy kind of picks up again. But as far as the new fans, and so do you guys handle all of your social media yourselves, or do you have someone else do it for you?
No, it's basically us. Rod is the main driver behind it. I mean, I help him, put together some content here and there and all that, but he's the motivated one. I don't do it because I don't do it all the time because I'm actually super paranoid about typos.
Okay.
So I tend to rifle through things really fast and then I'll change what I'm writing and then take a word out, but then I won't put a word back in to make it a complete sentence. And I'm like, Rod, it's probably better do that instead of me,
But. Yeah, I mean, obviously you can't survive without it, nowadays, especially.
Yeah.
Do you find it to be...
That was great.
So you enjoy it, or do you find that it takes away from some of the creative process, as far as time?
No, it's... For us, especially coming out, being a new band, coming out of the pandemic and stuff, it definitely gave us a way to share content. I mean, since we released the record, we shot a video for a song called Lady Solida. Another video for Moon Man, which is like an animation slash video. I mean, Rod and I are in it, but we're more cameos, and then. We did a video called Hellfire. We got a lyric video for a Thin Lizzy cover called Thunder and, you know, Thunder and Lightning, you probably
know it, right? Yeah.
I actually sang that one, which was fun. I was joking around, and I was like, can I sing that? That'd be fun. Because, you know, Philip, you know, was a bass player.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, Rod was like, be my guest, you know, but I kind of was starting to learn. I was like, oh, my God, there's like four verses in this song, and it's wicked fast.
Yeah, I don't know how he did it. Some of the songs are just...
When he said I could do it, I already kind of committed to it, and when I tried to learn all that, it was definitely a challenge. It's more of a challenge live, because at least in the studio you can take a breath and take the next verse, you know.
Yeah.
So we did that. We got a song called Hellfire. We did a video for. We have a lyric video for. Another song called Incandescent, which I think we are going to release next week. It's pretty cool. We had a kid from overseas do it for us, and nice. He had contacted us and showed us his work, and it's fantastic. And we have content on deck. Like, we're putting together a video, in studio video.
Yep.
For a song called Red Prince, and then I think we have another lyric video for the song Officer, which is the last song on our record. It's given us an avenue. We were doing something silly for a while. We haven't done it, but we were doing I think we did three of them, and then we would sing a chorus of a Dawkins song, and that was like our little social media video. And you know, as a full band.
Because
we joke, because our drummer always says that he, I'm going to use this term lightly, he said he hates Dawkins. He doesn't really hate Dawkins. It's just kind of like a inside joke for whatever reason. I just think he doesn't know any of their songs. But we did Dream Warriors and Just Got Lucky, I believe. But yeah, it was totally fun.
Nice.
I love Dawkins.
Yeah. So do I. I've seen him a few times back in the day. So. And I interviewed George Lynch at one point. So that was fun.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was one thing as a kid. It was one of their live videos. I forget what song it was for, but I think it was from what ended up being the Beast from the East.
Yeah.
Album, but it's a scene where, in the video where Jeff Pilson is playing his bass, and he tosses it, you know, to the roadie, but it's not like, you know, 5 feet. It's like a good like 25 feet like across the stage, and the roadie catches it. I was like, that's so fucking cool.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to be able to do that if you got like 10 others that you can grab, you know.
Totally.
I couldn't imagine.
In those, I think the bass he was tossing was one. It was like an ESP.
Yeah.
Or no, it was a Kramer, because he was playing Spectres and stuff back then too, I believe. And it was one of those Kramer Focus. I don't want to say the wrong name, but it's kind of like, you remember the '80s guitars, like they're like the super like cow, like it's the as far as like, you know, say Les Pauls, like they're Harley Davidson, and then you have your Ibanezes, which are, I mean, friends, and we always joked and we called them fast guitars, as if they were like a Kawasaki Ninja.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know.
That bass was the bass version of those, so
yeah.
It probably weighed like, you know, 6 pounds or 7 pounds.
Yeah. You definitely don't want to be throwing a Les Paul around. They're pretty heavy.
No. You kill them.
Yeah, definitely. So what's obviously promoting the record, what's the ultimate goal for the band? Obviously you want to get bigger than you guys are, but what are the plans in place that will take you to that next level?
We're solely, you know, working on content, getting out there and you know, being a new band and getting on some good shows, and we've already started our second record because we are, you know, we've had material like kind of sitting around, but because it took, you know, almost 3 years to release our first album, so we're trying to fast track, hopefully to release another album by the fall. I have a feeling these things get pushed back, and so it might not be right on the fall, so we might be mixing in the fall, but hopefully it doesn't bleed into next year, but it'd be good to get that out there, because we've been kind of playing the same songs for a long time, and we're just trying to do the, I mean, the internet's definitely great, you know, it's like, I mean, you're not able to walk through town, you know, especially here in Boston, before, you know, in the 80s and 90s, you'd walk through, you know, parts of the city and there would be flyers for bands everywhere, telephone poles, you know, anyway, any record shops, you know, there's not even as many record shops anymore, you know, it's just like, so the internet is what it is. That's our, you know, promotional tool now.
It's kind of a shame in a way, but in another way, it's much better as far as reaching more people, you know, instantly.
Yeah, we're obviously looking to get more followers and more streams and all that kind of stuff. You know, our album's on all outlets, you know, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and we're on Facebook. Definitely, if anybody's listening, find us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Share us, like us. We also have a YouTube channel which has all the fun videos that we did, and you know, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Anything. Just spread, if you dig our music, definitely spread the word.
Oh yeah, I'll do my best to promote you guys on my. We have a Facebook page as well, plus Instagram, YouTube, all that. So. I'll be promoting your music as much as I can. Do you guys have merch as well?
Oh yeah, we got it. So we are. Thank you. I almost forgot about that. we have our website is officerxmusic.com, and there's a merch store off of that. Okay. And we got shirts, which are the album cover, which is this pretty cool scene where there's this creature kind of soldier guy, and he's got a bunch of ghouls around him and stuff. It's very, very, very 80s heavy metal looking. So.
Nice. Now, did you guys come up with that artwork or the idea for it and send that off to someone else to do, or is that...
Rod had the concept, and he kind of already... There was an artist, his name's Preston Crane, and Rod was a huge fan of his, so while... He was just kind of talking to him and kind of threw a concept his way. And before you knew it, we had a stencil and just a rough draft of what it could potentially be. And Rod showed it to me and I was like, oh, that's super cool. Let's do it. So, nice. The next video that we have coming up after the Incandescent lyric video is the song called Red Prince. And he actually is working on a piece for that, just for the single release, which is going to have a B-side of a Beatles cover of Hey Bulldog.
Hmm. Wow. And,
the only thing is, when I'm talking about these cover songs, I'm like kind of mentioning them like people haven't heard of them.
Kind of Beatles?
Beatles song, it's called Hey Bulldog, you know, you'll hear about it someday.
I know. Beatles. Never really heard of them before, so I don't know. I'll look them up. They're going to be on Spotify, I would imagine.
If you like them, you may like this band called Thin Lizzy.
Yeah, that's funny. Isn't it like...
No, where are we?
Huh?
What was that?
Oh, I was going to say, do you find that like music in general, like where do you see things going as far as like the trends or because of all the TikTok and the social media... Everything just seems to be so processed and digital. Where do you see like heavy music?
Yeah, I have a fear. Like, I have a fear that, like, you know, maybe not, because there is a lot. I mean, there's a lot of musicians and young musicians on TikTok that are sick. You know what I mean? And I mean, I do have this fear that, like, you know, there will be a day where, you know, teenagers don't, you know, get a guitar for Christmas or a bass for Christmas or drums. And because I remember, you know, obviously you probably are in the same realm. Like, you know, being a kid in, like, middle school to high school, that's when you and all your buddies got your first guitar or your first bass, or and you all start forming bands and you learn how to play together. And it's just like, it's definitely a different world where, you know, kids are just creating stuff in the box, and it could be like one musician, you know,
yep,
making something. And, you know, so I don't know. I mean, but times change, things evolve, and I'm sure, you know, at the end of the day, I think people still like to rock. You know, even, I mean, you watch, I mean, country music is pretty much a version of rock music now.
Right.
You know, like, if you watch the live shows, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. The things have to evolve. As far as this band goes, what are the possibilities of short tours or East Coast tour, or, I mean, are things in the works for that, or is that a goal?
We're working on it. We're potentially, where are you out of?
I'm actually in Rhode Island. I'm in East Providence, which is, so basically Providence, I'm like 10 minutes away from the capital.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, we're looking to definitely play Rhode Island. The place that we've been talking about is Alchemy.
Yep. Oh, well, it's a great place, great club, awesome, good location, except you have to go up like 3 flights of stairs on the outside.
I know.
To get all your equipment off.
I've played there before.
Terrible.
Yeah.
But the club itself, awesome. People, awesome. But those stairs.
You know, I played there like I don't know, I want to say like over, I played there pre-pandemic. Like, it was pretty much the one of the bands I had played in. Basically, one of the band members, it was before COVID was like legit. You know, and like that was the last of 2 shows, and that's when everybody started getting it, and then all of a sudden it's on the news. Obviously, the shows were forgotten for a while, but I played there. It was called something else, but it was over a decade ago, and the thing that was rumored about it is that Jason Mewes used to hang out there.
Yeah, possible. I mean, Providence.
The stage was in a different place. It was like they moved the stage where the pool tables and merch go now. But that was the thing that he used to hang out there. So I don't know if that helped the club at all. But it was, I think it was different owners and all that. But it was definitely the same place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember playing. I remember getting up there and walking up the stairs. I was like, oh god, I played here before.
Yeah, those stairs.
My light.
those stairs are tough.
But we're looking at Rhode Island, New York, New Hampshire. Just kind of more regional.
Yeah.
Stuff for now. Until you know, we get some demand or good support gigs down south, because obviously with the gas prices too, we definitely gotta be careful.
Yeah. And then what about overseas? I mean, obviously everyone would love to go and play overseas, but is there any forward motion that way as far as contacting?
We do not have plans to do that yet. We're just, I think we're trying to, since we're new, we're still trying to get a buzz going around regionally before we can kind of jump off and do some more stuff. But I'd love to. That'd be great.
Well, because the reason why I'm saying it is because the music, I obviously listen to a lot of music, a lot of bands, talk to a lot of bands from all over the place. Your music would and should go over very well overseas. So hopefully,
you're definitely right.
You know, it's perfect for that, for the scene over there, and I think you guys would really do well. It's just a matter of obviously, you know, someone getting you guys over there.
We have done quite a few podcasts overseas, and that's, you know, it's funny. So the guy that's done our lyric videos is from Croatia.
Okay.
So definitely, yeah. So we have made some outreach out there because he contacted us.
Yeah.
And he said, "I really like your stuff. Like, here's my my videos that I've done." We're like, "Oh, holy crap!" You know, and so yeah, we'll definitely. I'll make sure I send you a copy of it. He did a really good job.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of a, you know, doing lyric videos. It's kind of, you know, it's like an iffy thing because you don't want to bore people to death because it's not like it's just text and, you know, movable text and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It
actually
kind of tells a story with it that goes with the lyrics and everything. So
If you can't.
No, it's definitely.
Go ahead.
No, it's definitely, you know, we definitely have some outreach. We're still doing more media. But if we get hooked up with a couple of festivals and stuff like that, it would definitely make sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Go out there. And people in Europe definitely appreciate heavy metal. I think it's maybe a little, they have festivals dedicated to heavy metal out there. You don't see that here.
Oh, no. Yeah, we went to Sweden Rock in 2019, right? Well, it wasn't right before, but it was in June, so about maybe 9 months before the pandemic. But those people live and breathe metal and festivals. Like, that's what they do. All summer long, they just travel around.
Okay. Let me rephrase that. They do it here, but not on the scale that I've seen from footage overseas.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's nothing like that around.
There's definitely cruises and all this wicked cool stuff that happens out here too, but not on that big, you know. It's almost like the bands, the heavy metal bands are almost, they're just as big as the pop bands here are. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've tried to wrap my head around what makes the difference between here and there, because music is music and fans of music should be the same, so why don't we have that much passion over here than they do? I haven't been able to figure that out. I don't know what the answer is.
I have been overseas playing before, and it's definitely, it's a thing. And the first time so, you know, the new thing is you know, instead of lighters, people all hold the cell phones
up.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I'd never seen that before in my life. And a prior band I was in, we played this place called the Heineken Music Hall in Amsterdam.
Okay.
And it was called the Heineken Black Box or something like that. And the lights go down. It's kind of like a power ballad kind of song. And before you know it, all these cell phones lit up the freaking place. And wow. That was my first experience seeing that, you know, not in the crowd. And it was from the stage. I was just like, holy crap. You know what I mean? So it was definitely a
nice.
Yeah, no, definitely a lot of energy. A lot of people clap, like just clapping along to the beat and just energized, starved for like new music and stuff. So
Yeah.
You got me all excited. I'm gonna start poking product overseas.
Well, you know, I will do what I can to promote you guys, and I do have a lot of overseas media contacts, things like that. So I'll reach out and spread the word as best I can, and just keep putting out good music. That's really the key, and you guys are on your way doing that. So I'm looking forward to hearing more from you guys, and hopefully. If I get a chance to see you at Alchemy, that'd be great too.
Yeah, we'll I'll make sure I'll friend you on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll make sure if I'll remember if we play Rhode Island, because I don't really know anybody that lives in Rhode Island. So you could be my one guest.
Okay. All right, cool. Sounds good. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to do this, and hope to hear from you soon. And good luck with the music. And I'll do everything I can to promote you guys.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
All right.
So, sorry it was just me, but I'm pretty funny.
Right? Yeah. You did good. All right, then. Thank you.
I actually did one podcast where the one of the guys seemed a little bummed that it was just me. But after we started talking, it was totally cool.
Yeah. This has been great. So,
it might have been one of the overseas ones, and he's like, "Oh, you're not the singer." I was like,
"Oh,
sorry."
Oh boy.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll catch you later. And we'll definitely I'll definitely find you and set you up.
Yeah. Sounds good. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Brent.
All right. Bye.